The Lord is good, his mercy endureth forever. We're totally dependent upon the Lord's mercy. Our reading this evening is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy, infallible word. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, almighty God, we thank thee for the gift of salvation. We thank thee, Father, for the only means of reconciliation between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Father in heaven, gracious God, we ask now for your blessing upon this gathering. In Christ's precious name, amen. I've got a number of points I want to get through tonight. And my introduction is about creation. Because we need to know who God is. If we're going to preach God's word, we really need to know who he truly is. And God is the one true creator of this universe. Everything in this universe is from God, apart from sin. And in verse 1, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is one of the most amazing verses in the whole Bible. For the reason, in the beginning, we have time. God created the heaven, we have space. And the earth, we have matter. If we only had one of those elements, we wouldn't exist. Only two of those elements, we wouldn't exist. We need the three elements. And God has provided those three elements so that I can stand here today, so that you people can sit there today. That is the God we believe in. All powerful, all sufficient. The God who we believe in. Do we truly believe in God? Have we truly given him our hearts? God wants our hearts. Tonight, from the verse that was read there, we can see this is a message of reconciliation. It's the message of reconciliation. And my first point tonight is that of the crime that was committed in the Garden of Eden. This was the crime of the universe. For every man, every woman ever born, every child ever born has got the inheritance of sin upon them. That is the inheritance that Adam and Eve have left us. Sin. Look at all the problems in the world caused by sin. All the crimes in this world are caused by sin. All of them. There are none that doeth good. No, not one. Psalm 51, the Psalm of David, tells us that we're born into sin. We're born sinners. The moment we are conceived, sin is in that seed. We are all sinners. There is a crime that needs to be paid for. That crime truly needs to be paid for. Our sinful nature needs to be paid for. I cannot pay that penalty. You cannot pay that penalty. None of us can. There isn't one human being born of natural conception that can pay this penalty. For the crimes that we commit because of Adam and Eve, because they ate from the forbidden tree of knowledge, the forbidden fruits. How many times in our lives do we eat the forbidden fruits? How many times have we eaten it? Too many. And that's just talking about myself, nobody else, just self. The most important thing about God's word is that we have an understanding of our nature, our fallen human nature. And there is a fallen human nature. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6, verse 23. All have sinned. Each of us in here tonight is a sinner. So, we look to God once again, don't we? What is God's nature like towards us? What is the Lord God's nature like towards us? His nature is full of compassion. Full of compassion, full of mercy, full of love to every human being that's ever walked the face of this earth. That's what God is like to us. But sinners, when we are living in sin, we cannot see this. And we are told in Genesis that we are at enmity with God. We are at war with God. Even the most placid human being, you know, if he doesn't believe in God, he's at war with him. There's no in between. We're either the Lord's people or we are not. And there will be an eternal judgment upon our sin. Each of us will pay the price if it hasn't been paid already. If we look to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He's talking to believers here. He's not talking to the world. Paul is talking to believers. And why is he saying these things? Why is he saying these things to believers? Because some of these believers would have still been in their sin. We only have to look at the parable of the sower. That parable, that wonderful parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people were saved there? 25%. Tonight, we need to make sure we are the Lord Jesus Christ's people. We need to come to him with a broken and a contrite heart in the same manner that King David came to him in. Psalm 51. As I said, we are all sinners, but do we all truly know this? Just let me just say a mathematical equation that I worked out. I've said this in the open air. If I myself sin, twice a day, 7 times 2 is 14. Say we've got 30 day months for 12 years. 14 times 30 is 420. 12 months in a year, 420 times 12, that's 5,040. I'm 49 years of age. 5,040s is 246,960 sins. That's on two sins a day. Two sins a day. So anybody that says I don't sin a lot, it's easy to prove them wrong. Quite easy. God is a good God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a God of compassion, complete compassion. That's the God we believe in. Do we truly believe in this God? Do we truly bring our sins before Almighty God? He's a God of compassion. We have in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, from verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The compassionate Lord we believe in called himself the son of a human being. David was a sinner, just like you and I. But God used him. God used him as an instrument. Are we praying to be used as God's instruments? Are we? Do we want to be used as God's instruments? King David did. He found mercy with God. He got forgiveness for his sin, for his great sins of adultery and murder. And that's all in Psalm 51. In fact, if we turn to Psalm 51, we have the first two verses there that speak of the Lord's mercy, the Lord's compassion. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. King David had a relationship with Almighty God. This is repentance. This is repentance. Are we coming to the one true God of salvation with true repentance in our hearts? Are we? If we're not, we won't be forgiven. There is no forgiveness without repentance. We have in Micah 7, Micah 7, verse 19. I'm reading from the AV. If you're looking at the New King James, it might be different, this verse. But I'm using this to remind us of God's sea of forgetfulness. And I think the AV is the only one that really says what I'm going to say here. Micah 7, verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea of his forgetfulness, the sea of God's forgetfulness. And God's omniscience, the all-knowing God, he knows all things, but he chooses to forget the sins of those who truly repent. He will not hold them against us on judgment day. There's a pathway straight into heaven, and it's the narrow path. We have the compassion there. We now have to look at the cleansing of sin. That can only be done through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If we turn to Hebrews, Hebrews 10, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. There were sacrifices that had to be made over and over and over again. And those animals had to be paid for. They had to be paid for. But now Jesus Christ is the free gift of salvation. Salvation cannot be bought. The Old Testament prophets were looking forward to one who was going to come. We can look back to one who has come. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's who he is. The Lord Jesus Christ. Is he upon our hearts tonight? Have we got the Holy Spirit emblazoned on our hearts this evening? Have we? If we haven't, we can do something about it. We can do something about it. And we can do something about it this evening. Who knows what a day may bring forth? I don't even know if the Lord's going to allow me to wake up tomorrow morning. He could take me just like that. That's the Lord's power. He can take any of us just like that. So we need to be careful. No, we need to be saved. We need to be saved. And there's only one means of salvation, and it's through the precious blood. Let us now look to Hebrews 9. Verses 11 to 14. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Serve the living God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told there about his blood. His blood. The only substance that cleanses sin. It is the most powerful substance in this universe. Do we truly believe in this? Do we truly believe? We've been singing this evening about the power of the blood. Are they just words to us? Or are them words emblazoned upon our hearts? Are they? Because they should be. There is real power in that blood. Precious, precious, precious blood of Jesus. Do we believe it's sufficient to cleanse all our sin? Because it is. That blood is sufficient to cleanse us of all our sin. If we're not saved tonight, there is a need for that person. That person needs to go to Calvary. Needs to go to Calvary this evening. And that person needs to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus. You need to go to Calvary in repentance. We just look at Mark 1, verse 15. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repentance. I believe this is something that is badly missing in Christians throughout this nation today. Repentance is sadly missing. And we can see that in the lives these people lead. Once we are saved, once we've given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't want to be with the world's crowd. We don't want to be with them anymore. We have to work with them. We have to spend time with them. But do we really want to socialize with the world as Christians? My final point tonight is that of covering. Covering. If we turn back to Genesis, Genesis 3, verse 7, we have the physical covering that Adam and Eve put on. And the eyes of both, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Works. That speaks to me of works. Good works. It might have been good what they did, but good works will not earn us salvation. Only faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We need that spiritual covering that only the Lord can give. If we look to Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Them according to his mercies and according... Sorry, I've turned over there. We're on chapter 63 there. Robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. It's the robe of righteousness that I'm talking about here. It's that robe we all need to put on. When the prodigal came back to the father, he gave him a robe, didn't he? It was the robe of righteousness. The robe of righteousness. And that robe is not his own righteousness. No. It's the righteousness of somebody else. The God-man. Christ Jesus. Have we put this robe on this evening? Have we put that robe on? Because that is the only means of reconciliation. He took our sin. We take his righteousness. It is a substitution. He was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Do we believe this? Do we truly believe this? Have we got true faith in Almighty God and his work of salvation? Have we got faith in this act? Because it is the only means of salvation. There are that many religions in this world. There are that many religions in this country. People don't know what to believe. People are confused. But God shows us his truth. When the Holy Spirit comes into the hearts of believers and grants us that peace, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, then only can we start, as Ian said earlier, can we start that living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hail him as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Is he our Lord and our God? There's nothing we can do. There's nothing I can do. It's all on the faithfulness of God. Great is his faithfulness. That is God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Ghost that shows us these almighty truths. For God's word is amazing. And remember, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless what has been said this evening. Amen. Shall we pray? And then I'm going to ask Ian up. Father God, Lord Jesus, we thank thee for that relationship you enable us to have with your wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father God, that you have shown us that he is the only means of reconciliation between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. Father in heaven, gracious God, we ask that you will increase our faith in the Holy One of Israel. In his precious name, we ask these things.